Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney, time 3:11. And we have a whole bunch of stuff into which we're going to dive today. Actually, some of what I actually wanted to do today, I have thought better of doing, and we're going to do it later on in the week. But right now, this actually came up last week, and I've been mulling it over, and I thought, you know what, maybe I should do that as a topic and see what happens. So here it is. The financial advice. Now, everybody always talks about financial planning and financial advisors. And you know what? Financial advisors and investment people, they certainly have their place in life and in your life. And it doesn't matter how much you make. Somebody once said, and I brought this up last week, there was an old ad in the 1980s on late night radio that went along the lines of, money is everywhere, but unfortunately, it doesn't come with instructions. Always liked that one because it really resonated and it totally hit home, maybe with you as well, if you're old enough to remember that. But this is a great chance to bring in some maybe younger people who heard some advice and have found it to be either very helpful or very not helpful, unhelpful, in terms of money. And I want to just get into this a little bit if we could. Now, first of all, you don't have to, it's not necessary that you say, well, I make such and such and I have such and such saved, unless you want to, because yeah, that's personal. But the theme here for the first part of the program is, let's just pretend that you have five children. I know that doesn't happen in 2025, at least not for most people. But let's just say you have five children and they all come to you in a group. A coven, and they say, a gaggle, and they say to you, hey, mom, hey, dad, what would you like to tell us about money and finances? What would you like to say? And what I want you to do is think about everything that you've learned as a grown-up in terms of what to do as far as money is concerned. Now, there are at least two schools of thought, and there are schools of thought that are somewhere in the middle, all right? Now, school of thought number one, and by the way, I don't agree with either extreme, okay? I don't agree with either extreme, but people are set in their ways. And one quick aside, how many of you grew up with parents or grandparents who survived the Great Depression? Do you remember in your parents' basement or in their pantry, perhaps? I said pantry. Do you remember seeing all those cans of food? Yes. I'm pretty sure that the Campbell family was made very wealthy by the Bowerly family. But grandma and grandpa, they had so many canned goods in their basement. I'm talking about 100 or 200 canned goods. They never moved. I'm pretty sure that from the time I was 5 years old until the time I was in my mid-20s, the same cans of food were in the basement of Grandma and Grandpa Bowerly's. And I actually asked my mom about this. I said, Mom, they've got all these cans of food in the basement. What's going on here? They're not poor. And Mom said, well, look, they were born in the early 1900s, so they lived through the Great Depression. So a lot of people, grandma and grandpa's age, they have so much food in the house because they don't want to be hungry, because they know what that's like, because they grew up in the Great Depression, or they had children to take care of during the Great Depression. For example, my dad was born in 1930. which was pretty much in the heart of the Great Depression, often thought to myself, hey, honey, I'm pregnant. Okay, it's 1929, and you're telling me that you're pregnant? Because the stock market crash, what, October of 1929? Yes, the Roaring Twenties certainly came to an abrupt ending, I'll say that much. And yeah, my dad was born right basically at the beginning of the effects of the Great Depression, where about one in four Americans who had been working lost their jobs. And actually, what's interesting about that, if I may be allowed to proceed just a little bit further down this squirrel chase, as far as I know, my two grandfathers actually were able to keep their jobs during the Great Depression. I don't know if they took pay cuts. I don't know all of the particulars, but I'm like 95% sure that they were not out of work during the Great Depression. So they were blessed, lucky, fortunate, whatever you want to say in that regard. But the effect of the Great Depression, think about yourself growing up. It seems like I say this every day, but let's just say I'm over 60, not 70 by a long shot. I'm over 60. And the stories of my grandparents may be ringing true to you. And if you are maybe in your 30s or 40s, you may have heard your old man, or am I your old man? You may have heard your old relatives, there we go, talking about growing up and seeing all of the canned goods that they experienced when they were in their grandparents' basements when they were younger. And the lesson that I learned from that, because we're talking right now about advice you would give if you had five kids and they all wanted to know your advice on finances. And I'm sure the advice they may have given you was, look, you got to prepare for a rainy day. And you should have enough food in the house for maybe 2 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, because you never know in a situation like that when and where your next meal is going to originate. Because we take it for granted, don't we? That, okay, go to Wegmans, go to Tops, Aldi's, wherever, and you get your stuff. And you come home and you put it away, and then eventually you eat it. Or you go to a restaurant, or you go to a fast food joint, which I wouldn't recommend. But you go to a fast food joint, and food has never been an issue for most of us in the United States of a certain age. Am I correct? Most of us? No, it hasn't been an issue. Some have always had an issue. And if not their entire lifetimes, they had it for a period of their lifetimes that was very uncomfortable, especially if they had kids that needed to be fed. Because I think that's the big concern with a lot of people. It's not so much you, but you worry about your kids. Are they going to go to bed hungry? And I don't know how many of you went to bed hungry at night because of a lack of resources or a lack of food. I will tell you that my dad did not make a lot of money at all. And we were not exactly, I would say we're lower middle class, basically. And despite that, we never went to bed hungry. We always had something in our stomachs. Hey, you know what? Yeah, I wore a lot of secondhand shirts. I'm going to say that much. Talked about that also last week, which was one of the stimuli to do this program today. But yeah, it's a fact. But yeah, a lot of really bad shirts, which kind of interesting because I got them from my older brother, and he is 11 years older than I. And the shirts that he had worn in high school, by the time I went to high school, those shirts were actually cool again. true story. But your financial advice, he's back on advice again. Now, this is actually about finances. And I think finance is a little bit different than life advice, although there is a Venn diagram and there's a lot of overlap between the two. Do you agree with that? So two schools of thought, getting back to my train of thought. Number one, you save everything you possibly can. You basically live a very austere and frugal and abstemious. Oh, can I break that word out? Is that appropriate? Abstemious life. You don't spend money. You don't spend it as fast as you make it. So you save, you save, you save. You have a very small house. You drive cars that are 25 years old. But they're classic cars, so they actually might be worth something. But no, you drive cars that are not exactly top of the line. As long as it gets you from point A to point B, it can be a golf cart or a lawnmower. It doesn't matter. School of thought number one, you really, really, really limit and minimize what you spend because your primary goal is to save everything you earn for retirement. Because maybe your parents told you this, maybe they didn't, but mine did. If you think Social Security is going to be your retirement, you are dead wrong. It does not cover what you need to live. It's like maybe it's a start, but it's nowhere near what you need. So coming into the working world, I think many of us, maybe you, were of the opinion, and I don't think it's unfounded, that you had to put something aside for yourself for retirement. Now, those of you with jobs in which you get a pension after 20 or 30 years, 25 years, maybe it's not such an urgent matter with you, but most people, especially in the private sector these days, do not get the pensions that you may have grown up with your parents and your grandparents. So basically, for most Americans, pretty much on your own as far as retirement and how you're going to survive in retirement without competing with Fluffy the cat for the fancy feast. I mean, I'm just saying this. We heard a lot in the 1980s about seniors eating cat food. Never had anybody call me to say they actually were eating cat food, but that was the rumor. Anyway, and if I were to eat cat food, I'm pretty sure it would be fancy feast and not the kibbles. Kibbles are not very good tasting. Some of the fancy feast stuff doesn't taste bad, but I digress. Maybe Sheba. Sheba, fancy feast, those are good. So two schools of thought. Number one, you save everything and you don't spend money because your retirement, you will not have an income other than Social Security and you must take care of yourself. That's, again, school of thought number one. That's an extreme. School of thought number two is something that teachers or parents, I should say, don't really get into because they don't, because they're supposed to be the responsible ones. School of thought number two deals with the way we as adults behave with money. And I'm sure that you know people like this. How many people do you know? Maybe yourself, and I do not judge. How many people do you know who are just hopelessly in debt? Hopelessly in debt. We're talking about a lot of money that they owe on credit cards, consumer credit, charge cards, automobiles, mortgages. Hey, remember when you could get a mortgage for like 3.5%, sometimes even lower? Yeah, well, those days aren't here again. Hopefully they will be, but certainly not now. But a lot of people out there, and I didn't know this until I was in my 20s, late 20s, looking for houses actually in St. Louis. And I remember some of the houses we would look at from outside, and we would say, oh my goodness, what a gorgeous house. It's got to be a palace inside. And the real estate broker looked at us and said, you know what, Tom, got to tell you something, that a lot of these big houses, you walk into them and they don't have any furniture. People are sleeping on the floor. I was shocked. I was amazed. I was like stabbed in my preconceived thoughts, because I always thought, well, if you got a big house, you must have it properly equipped. You probably are a model for HGTV, which you can see at any doctor's office anywhere in America, or any car dealer, or I guess HGTV is the safe choice for businesses, because you can't put CNN on, you can't put Fox News on, and I'm guessing that One America would probably be out of the question. But the school of thought that some people have, although I do doubt that this was taught to them by their elders, is, well, I am going to live large. We heard a lot in the 80s about what they called then conspicuous consumption, which basically was a fancy way of saying, my goodness, you're spending money like a drunken sailor and then some, and you don't have it, and you're never, ever going to get out of debt, which is a real concern. Because personally, I got to tell you something. One of the best bits of experiential advice, didn't talk about it an awful lot, but it certainly was experiential, is the idea that consumer debt was a massive burden for most people. And it was a burden. I don't want to use the word that starts with an S, because it's very, I think, disrespectful to some people. But imagine a situation where you had no control over yourself, over your life, where everything was predetermined by somebody else. And it's kind of like that, except you made the choice not to enter into that life as some kind of a bonded servant. You made the choice to enter into it so you could have the Lamborghini. Yes, I know that's an extreme example, but you get the point. School of thought number one, you save everything, you spend as little as possible. And the other side of that continuum is, I made it, I'm going to spend it. Not only am I going to spend what I've made, I'm going to actually borrow money from other people to even have a lifestyle that is twice as awesome as I would have if I was only spending what I actually earned. Then there's somewhere in the middle. And I want to find out from you. Again, I want you to imagine this. Let's just suppose for a moment that you had five children, okay? Five children. And they all came to you as a group and said, Mom, Dad, we need to know, because we didn't have Mr. Lori at Benjamin Franklin Junior High School teaching us finances and economics and checkbooks and everything like that. We didn't have that. So we're coming to you, Mom and Dad. We want to find out what you have to say about money and what we should do with what we earn. What do you tell your kids? What do you tell your grandkids? Many of you have already had this conversation, all right? This is not exactly a foreign language to you. So I want your phone calls on WBEN, where Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney time, is 3:26. And I suppose I'm going to be a nice guy here and give you the phone numbers to call. It's in the 716. Tim Wenger loves when I give the area code, because we didn't used to have to do that. It was really simple. Damn area codes. 716, the area code, 803-0930. 803-0930. If you prefer, 803-0930. The cell number is *930. And the toll-free number is 1-800-616-WBEN. I want to find out what you would tell, or what you have told, your five children about money. And I'm going to take that one step further too. What mistakes, now don't name people, what mistakes are avoidable mistakes you have seen people make over the years when it comes to their money? Oh, I've seen people make a lot of mistakes over the years. 803-09, myself included. Every time I look in the mirror, I see a guy who's done that. 803-0930, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And don't go anywhere, because the show is going to get much, much better and much more filled with great philosophy, great learning. And who knows? You listen to today's show, you're younger, you might end up being a million.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be in air by, maybe Friday. News Radio 930 WBEN. So if you're just joining us, Joe did some stuff about what are you doing to save money, and I'm going to take that just a little bit either backward or forward with a different spin on that, and that is what did you learn when you were young about handling money, and what are you passing on to your children or grandchildren about handling money? I mentioned it last week, but the 1980s late night radio ad, money is everywhere, but it doesn't come with instructions. Boy, is that true. Holy cow. I was for some financial company. 803-0930 in the 716, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Now, I could pontificate endlessly on this subject, but there's so many things I want to say, and I promised I would, but that'll come up in good time, in due time. Let's go to DePew, and it's Oh, it's Lisa's favorite. It's Mike in Depew. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Tom. How are you doing today?
It's a beautiful day. Thank you very much.
I really enjoy shows like this because there is so much to learn, and hopefully there's some younger people that are listening as well. So I want to address a couple of things that you brought up. And let me just start by saying this first. In my experience, I'm about 4 years older than you are, Tom. And the funny thing is there's two relative issues to money. First, there's making money, creating wealth. Then the harder part is preserving your wealth. And that might be a discussion for another day. It's probably even harder to preserve wealth than it is to create it. When I was younger, I was in a horrible situation, lost most of my family. We lost our house. Several people were dying of cancer. My mother was dying. She worked until her last month before she died, crying at the table that she couldn't pay make the rent. And boy, I got to tell you, that was a learning moment for me. I was determined I was never going to be in that situation. And fortunately for me, I had a grandmother that finished raising me, and she was a product of the Great Depression. And I want to share this because you could probably identify with this in some of your listeners. My grandmother, when I became about 19, 20 years old, she gave me some gold coins. They were saved from the Great Depression. During the 1930s, the U.S. government, trying to get the economy up and running, ordered everyone to turn in their gold coins. No. If you got caught with those coins, that was up to 10 years in a federal penitentiary. My grandmother and her parents didn't trust the government, and they hid their gold coins and kept them for security going down the road. So the other thing is, every time as I was married and I started a career, my grandmother, God bless her, every time I would buy something, a property or another classic car, her first question was, how much did that cost? How much did that cost? To her dying day, she was so worried about pennies and what things cost, because being a product of the Great Depression, that very much impacted her as much as it did for me. The other thing is, I could share this with some of your listeners. I learned over the subsequent years that I wanted to make sure that my family and I were never going to be in that situation again. But I was very careful with my own children. For example, trying to help them out with a car or money for school. I would give them half of the money for college and, in essence, instructed them, you go get the other half. I wanted them to have some skin in the game so that they understood, you know, the value of money and what it took to get to that point in your life.
Hello? Did you leave us? Oh, okay. It's just unlike you to stop talking, Mike. I'm sorry.
I thought I would let you pontificate. And then lastly, this other thing is, in terms of wealth, wealth has nothing to do, so to speak, with the things you can buy. What it really is the security that it provides you. You know, if you create your own wealth, so to speak, you don't have to worry about maybe an employer that gives you a hard time. I don't need this job, for example. So it gives you a sense of security and to have choices in your life that aren't forced down upon you. And the other thing is, lastly, I would just recommend to any younger people that are out there, I would just say this: don't rely on the government for your security. You should not anticipate, your retirement plan should not be, I'm going to rely entirely on my Social Security. Social Security right now is on its deathbed. They think maybe there's 8 years left within the general coffers, then they have to begin to dramatically reduce those payments. You need to learn to create your own wealth so that you could provide long-lasting sustenance for yourself. And if there happens to be that Social Security money, then that would just be a bonus to you down the road.
Where do you see, Mike, younger people making the biggest mistakes when it comes to money?
Oh, I would have students who would approach me on a regular basis. What happened is precisely what you were talking about previously. avoid getting yourself into debt. Young people, I used to hear this one. Professor, I'm going to a really good school, and I want a dorm. I want the school experience. And I would tell them, get yourself into community college. Get in and out as quickly as possible. Do not place yourself in debt. The system is designed to keep you into perpetual debt. That's one of the pitfalls of capitalism. And I think that's where young people make their greatest mistake. That and the issuance of credit cards.
Well, let me. I'm going to interrupt you at this point because I know that you and I have wildly divergent viewpoints on college educations. I think college is a scam for most people, to be very honest with you. And we've had this conversation, as I just mentioned before. The first thing I would tell any younger person who is not yet, who has not yet entered college and taken on that ridiculous student loan debt, I'd have a real honest discussion about taking a vocational aptitude test. I believe it's the Strong Vocational Aptitude Test, if memory serves me correctly. Figure out where your natural abilities and aptitudes are. Then ask the question, is this something for which you actually need a BA or a BS or perhaps further education? And if it isn't, the question would be, let me ask you a question, kids. Is it a good idea to go $50,000, maybe $100,000 into student loan debt for a degree that is really not necessary and that is not going to do anything for you in terms of the bottom line, which actually offers a very poor return on investment? And I would definitely make sure that younger people, I'm talking 16, 17, 18, do not even think about taking on student loan debt for any degree unless they can actually demonstrate verbally that it is necessary for an income.
Yeah, well, studies have shown, and again, people should do their own research, people with college degrees, whether it be an associate's, a bachelor's, a master's, or a PhD, over the course of their lifetime will make somewhere between $200,000 to $500,000 more.
I don't believe that. Number one, I don't believe that. Number two, if you consider the cost of that degree and you look at it over a period of time, dude, you're never going to convince me that a degree in history or sociology or English or art is going to have a payback that is better than somebody who learns to be an electrician, a plumber, or even a car mechanic. And I say even because a lot of people who have their own garages do very well. You're never going to convince me of that because I've seen it in the real world. I don't care what the studies say, and I'm not trying to be obnoxious, but that's my real world experience.
Yeah, the Wall Street Journal does a lot of in-depth analysis on that. So
they also think Donald Trump is evil, so there.
You and I can disagree there. It should be only a corner. It should be a cornerstone to that which you're trying to accumulate and secure wealth. But you're absolutely right. You don't want to put yourself $100,000 in debt to go to school. And there's roadmaps which you can take alternative courses. But I think in the end of the day, you want to avoid putting yourself to any extent in debt, because that is a wealth killer. And this is why people try to consolidate that debt. If you find yourself in that pitfall, certainly take those steps. But I like to listen to the people who have spent time accumulating and amassing wealth. Learn from them. And again, I think that if you are fortunate enough to secure that wealth, and some of your misfortunes in life can be a real learning tool, you're going to come up against a secondary problem, and that is, in particular in this day and age, trying to preserve that wealth. So that's the other part of the equation.
Okay, obviously preserving money is very important. It's basically an age-old expression, and you know what I'm going to say, that a fool and his or her money soon go separate ways.
There should be a picture of you in the encyclopedia right next to Confucius, Tom.
I believe it or not, there is a picture of me in the encyclopedia. It's actually a medical encyclopedia, and I am the photographic representation of the human anus. True story. I thought you'd appreciate that. Come on. Hello? Right, you're not laughing. Oh, my. I thought Mike had a weird sense of humor, but I guess I gauged that one wrong.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Alrighty, I have then any degree of humor, but I'm trying to I'm trying to assess the situation and add some. I understand you're trying to add some levity to it, but it is a very important topic, and I certainly hope that there are listeners who take this to heart, learn from the people around you who have made mistakes, and the elderly people in your life. They're an enormous source of knowledge. Listen to them.
Well, okay, but I'm gonna counter that, and I'll get into that following the traffic and weather break as far as elderly people, because honestly, I think a lot of older people have it absolutely wrong, and I'm talking about the don't spend anything, save, spend absolutely nothing, and this is going to be another real-world example from the other side. So thank you, Mike. I appreciate the call, and we'll see what other people have to say. There's Mike in DePew. I'm fascinated by this. Let's just imagine, as you listen to this show, you have five children. You don't know this, but you have five children. They all come to you as a group and say, Mom, Dad, Grandma, Grandpa, we need some advice on how we're going to get by financially. What advice would you offer us? And this is a very specific topic. It's not like the general advice thing we did last week, a very specific topic. But I happen to believe, frankly, a lot of people who are older than I, or maybe my age, absolutely give the wrong advice. What am I saying? Of what am I speaking? You're just going to have to stay listening. That's what we call a tease in the radio business. What do you tell people like your kids or your grandkids when they ask you for general advice on money and finances? Joe Beamer did a topic about how are you saving money these days, and it was good. And I just want to find out about the financial stuff, because I was thinking that a lot of times if you save for a rainy day, you don't need to be so concerned when the clouds open up and dump a storm on you, causing a river of rain down your street, right? 803-0930 is the phone number. 803-0930, that's in the 716. I'm well aware that I could say 803-0930, but I like to be cantankerous to people who have an issue with that. It's just in my nature. I'm always going to be a rebel. 803-0930, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. So as far as advice on money, on one end of the continuum, the people, and I've known in my life people exactly like this, who say, I don't care how much money you make. You live as frugally as you possibly can. You save everything you possibly can for retirement. Can you tell by the tone of voice I'm using that that might not be something with which I have agreement? Because I really don't, and I'm going to tell you why. Again, this goes back to something about which we spoke last week. I am very well acquainted with an individual in the financial industry from the metropolitan New York City area, and this guy handles... I'm just going to say well over a billion with a B as in Bravo, well over $1 billion for his investment clients. And here's what he told me. And I think you need to listen to this, those of you maybe in your 30s or 40s, because I happen to think based on experiences that this is spot on. Here we go. Some general ideas. Number one, you know what? Your life is not a dress rehearsal. This is not a practice. You have one life. When it is over, unless you believe in the afterlife, when that life is over, the life you're living right now, that's it. That's all there is. And I don't think they sell Rolls Royces in heavens. They certainly don't sell them in hell. Now, in hell, they actually sell old AMC Gremlins and Dusters. True story. I've heard. So you only have one shot at life. Number two, there are no guarantees in life. None whatsoever. You don't know if you're going to live to be 90 or 80, or whether you're going to be one of the many men and women who check out from a heart attack, as I damn near did, in your early to mid 50s. And you go through a graveyard, you look at the stones. Every time I see a guy of the modern era who dies anywhere from 50 to 59 years old, I automatically make the assumption, probably had a heart attack. Damn, that could have been me. True story. And, There are no guarantees in terms of your longevity. So you can save everything you make and not really enjoy your life, not travel, not experience what it is like to see other parts of the world, have fun and make memories with your spouse or your children. You could do that. But if you think you're going to, I'm definitely going to enjoy retirement. I'm saving this for retirement. When I retire, I'm going to have a great time. Not necessarily, because even if you stay alive, which reminds me of a Bee Gees song, which I'm not going to sing. I don't feel like squeezing my legs together for the high harmony. So I'm just saying. By the way, before I finish this thought, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I need to break before I actually finish this thought, but when we come back, I'm going to tell you, because I think you need to know. I think this is important information. I wouldn't share it if I didn't think it was important for you. I'm going to share with you the proceeds of a conversation I had with a gentleman who does manage well over one, probably more, billions of dollars for investment clients about the saddest thing he experiences on a regular basis. Oh, it involves people who have a lot of money.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting, where you'll learn about American history, current events, and so much more. Follow and listen to me on Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.